Yeah, because I have $40 million.
No, but I wanted to get to what the other bill was that we changed. This is it here, right? No, no, we had a couple changes.
Here's the, the way it was on.
That's the way it was, what's this then?
That's the one today. This is
Oh, I got it. Really?
That's the old one that talked about disabilities, remember that?
Right.
Yeah, it's like everybody was thinking about disabilities as being a handicap.
What happened to Victor? Did you get your key?
Oh, I've been waiting.
There too.
State Affairs, come to order, please. Members in attendance are Senator Fisher, Senator McGree, Senator Boone, Chair. We're taking up this morning Senate Bill number 173, an act relating to political campaign contributions by an individual who is under the age of majority. Good morning, Peta.
Good morning, Senator Boone.
How's the weather up there, all right?
Yeah, it's warming up, threatening to rain on us.
Join the crowd.
Okay.
Would like to first go over just very briefly the work draft that we did work on dated 2/18/1985. By adding a new subsection regarding the age of majority, the contribution of an individual under the age of majority is considered to have been made by a parent or guardian of the individual under the age of majority. This subsection does not apply to an individual under the age of majority whose disabilities have been removed under 09.55.59 hour, was married and reached the marriageable age of consent. There's a lot of little language problems in there that none of us agreed on. We then went to the Assistant Attorney General, Diane. She then redrafted it into a, what is this, just a Senate bill? I thought this would be a committee substitute. It's a State Affairs bill, I'm sorry. Diane, would you please come up for a moment and contribute to this bill by stating whether what the ramifications are legally, etc. Name for the address for the record.
Diane Cullen, Assistant Attorney General, Department of Law. This bill is essentially the work draft that we discussed. It's essentially the same as the work draft we discussed last week. It now simply says that an individual under 18 who is emancipated or who is married, if that person makes a contribution, it will be considered to have been made by that person's parent or guardian.
Now, what this really means is that anyone who contributes, in other words, the way the situation is now, that a married person and his wife, and if they had three minor children, but they have not reached the age of majority, they could contribute, the family could contribute, we'll say $1,000 each for those minor children, the way it is now, to the candidate of their choice. What this bill does is say that will not be allowed anymore. But those that are emancipated or who is married, regardless of age, would be able to do it and under their own name. Is that correct?
That's right. And Senator, the bill doesn't really prohibit a child from making a contribution. It's just that if the child does, it will be attributed for reporting purposes to the parent or guardian.
Attributed to the parent.
Right.
So that would mean that in the event of a father who gave $1,000 to a candidate and he wanted to give another $1,000 with his child, he couldn't do that.
That's right. The limit would have already been reached.
I see. Okay, we do have a We do have a little camera problem here. Is the camera working all right this night?
It's right on you, sir.
Is it right on me? Good. I'm glad of that.
I was just telling him to turn
the camera. Could you pan that a little bit more over and kind of pick up the senator? I mean, if this is the problem, I have no objection. Forget that, Theda. Do you have any questions, Theda?
No, I don't have any questions, Senator. I do have a comment, which is that, as it stands now, I believe that the provision of the law that prohibits contributions in the name of another prohibits a parent from passing money to a child to give to a candidate, but that's a terribly hard thing, difficult thing to investigate, to substantiate, and to figure out, and I agree with you that it looks terribly suspicious, especially when you see a report on which both parents have each given $1,000, companies that are owned by the parents have each given $1,000, and then you see a list of presumably children who have given $1,000. It makes you wonder, indeed, where that money came from, although, as I said, it's very difficult to investigate and substantiate. There are people who believe that it's legal for a parent to give a child a gift of money to be given to a candidate. I don't believe that's legal, but it's very frustrating to try to track down.
But what this would do would be to flag it, would it not?
Yeah, it would make it real clear to them that they're not supposed to do that. I think that the one area in which you might get some negative comment is that as long as the state has a permanent fund distribution program, there are people under the age of majority who plainly have money of their own. But and I think that you may get some negative feedback from that. But I think this is very clear about would do a lot to stop the passing of money for the purpose of making contributions.
It would appear to me that for the permanent fund, normally those children would be getting the money and under the care of their parents, which is perfectly all right. But they're not being the age of reasoning, if you will. They wouldn't be able to touch that money. It's under the jurisdiction of their parents. But where they have to give to receive money, I would think would be fine. But to pay out money for political campaigns, I should think would not be the case. So I'm comfortable with this particular bill. You don't like this?
I love it.
What were you? Oh, you don't like us? You didn't want to join us?
Wait till I'm on camera tonight.
We have a wandering senator this morning.
He wants to make a grand entrance here.
Okay.
Chairman, this is the third time I've sat down at a table that once has a camera been at me.
Well, let that bother you. I note that the Senator Kelly has joined us. Senator Kelly, any comments?
Yeah, what's the age of majority?
That's been spelled out in what was it? The age of majority is already established by law as 18.
Well, just to be safe, why don't we stick it in there? Because nobody will know it just reading that section.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
As I remember, the reason the language age of majority was put into the bill was that in case the legislature at some point changes it to be 16 or 21 or something else, that this particular part of the statutes would not have to be changed. That was the rationale.
We've already put the age of majority from the 18 to 21 on drinking, if you recall.
That's my point. Nobody looking at this particular section of the bill will know how old it is. And we ought to make that perfectly clear.
Mr. Chairman, my initial feeling was the same as Senator Kelly's, but then it occurs to me that people generally, unless they're attorneys, will not go to the statute itself, that they'll probably look at the summary of the statutes, the guidelines put out by APOC or by Legal Aid Voters or someone else on what contributions are legal, which aren't. And that would certainly list the director as 18, I would assume. But, Mr. Chairman, I, for one, have no problem either way.
Senator Kelly, would you like to have 18 put in here someplace? If so, I'd be more than happy to make the correction.
It just seems to me to be a lot plainer. It doesn't have to be. Victor's probably right. That the word will get around. You know how I like these technological marvels, Mr. Chairman.
I know. Theda, do you have any problem putting the word age 18 in here?
No.
Okay.
Just put it in somewhere.
Diane, could you give us an idea there?
Well, you can simply say the contribution of an individual under the age under the age of 18 years of age is considered to be made by a parent or guardian of the individual under the age of 18 years of age. Simply substitute that for age of majority in each instance. And also in the last sentence, a person under the age of 18 who is emancipated or who is married.
Okay. I move that amendment to this Senate Bill number 173. Are there any objections? So ordered. Is there any further comments regarding the bill? The intent of the chair is to move it out this morning. Any comment? Any comments?
I'd make a suggestion. Mr. Chairman, I would move.
I believe I have a motion.
I'm just suggesting a motion. I would move a committee substitute, including the amendment.
It's our bill anyway.
We still have to have committee say so. Otherwise, you're moving this with an amendment to finance.
Probably easier to do.
Okay, we will put out this. The committee will put out a committee substitute for Senate Bill number 173 with amendments. And we will go to the next committee referral. There is a zero fiscal note, which I don't have at the present moment. Do you, were you going to submit one on that theater or not?
I did. It was telecopied to the Department of Administration yesterday, and so it just maybe hasn't gotten to you yet.
Well, I could, Department of Administration, I did check that.
Oh.
I'd like to get that today, if I may.
Okay.
Okay, there is a motion to move to adopt a committee substitute for Senate Bill 173. Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would you move the bill now to committee substitute?
Yes, committee substitute for Bill 173 with individual recommendations.
Any objections? So ordered. Thank you. Thank you, Thea. I would like to bring the committees to a attention. Emancipated. There's a person, I've met two or three of them. They're young, two or 17 years old. Couple of cases I know of, and they have legal right to be away from any jurisdiction, any parents, or any, but they're still single. If you note, the balance of it will be just, and Diane, thank you very much for your assistance on this. I really appreciate it. And the balance, you may say if you wish, we're just going to talk to a couple committee things if you wish. But tomorrow we're having a barn burner. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the wolf hunt. It's the wolf burner. Telecopies.
Yeah.
I'm passing around to you a letter I received from a Lowry. This morning, Ms. Lowry, who is the field representative for Greenpeace.
Hey, thank you.
Were I not a legislator and not a public figure, I would sue them for $900 million for defamation of character and accusing me of doing a few things that I did not do. But I can't do it because I'm a public figure.
Why $900 million?
It's a nice round figure.
Are they branching up in Wales?
You see, the head of it is that I've supported Greenpeace on the whales, on the orca whales, on the big beluga whales, a lot of things that they do on the seal, killing with clubs and all that stuff. I've supported them. I have no problem with it. But when this woman comes right out and deliberately attacks me and to rig a meeting or a hearing, I object violently.
Ms. Chairman, will you share the letter?
I'm having it done today. I just want to let you know what I'm up to, so it doesn't come as a huge surprise.
Well, Mr. Chairman, could we see a copy of the letter today prior to the meeting?
Oh, you're going to have it today. You betcha. I want you to have it and look it over, because I think it's just atrocious that somebody would do this. I just don't think it's in good taste at all, whether or not you're for Greenpeace or not. I personally approve of a lot of their activities.
Mr. Chairman, I approve of some of theirs, and I think their tactics are atrocious of others. So.
I kind of like them when they got on the Russian boat. I kind of enjoyed that. I wish I'd have been with them. So we will have a wolf hunt tomorrow. Next week on Wednesday, we'll be having a APOC and a statewide teleconference and so on. I expect to be able to do, and the other thing I'm doing, I'm negotiating right now with battery attorneys.
A battery?
With Gross and Burke. And I'm finding out a few things that I think we'll be able to use them in the committee. We do need the legal advice. I can't use there are other times, other organizations that I can't use because of the legalities involved, and I might say also Tillinghast and Bittner Horton and so on. I can't use them again. I attempted to do that. In fact, I had a contract pretty well discussed, negotiated, worked out, everything was fine. And then I sent it over to our legal department, and we can't do it because of the legalities involved in a contracts over 25,000 for 1 year period and so on. So then I ran after that thing a couple of times, and I got shot down each time. So I just thought I'd tell you what I'm up to. I'll bring it in front of you for your perusal, and we'll just take it from there with findings and so on. Yes?
That sounds fine. Mr. Chairman, we have before us a folder that's marked campaign penalties. Was that bill ever moved out of committee?
No. No.
Yeah, it's still in the city. It's a draft. That's just one thing.
Yeah, but due to some of the problems that I'm having now, I'm looking at, not problems, but negotiations and so on, I prefer not to take anything up the rest of the session this morning. As far as I'm concerned, the meeting's concluded.
Mr. Chairman, further question. Will Lisa Fernies assist the chairman and the committee on campaign financing, campaign reform?
Through the whole, everything.
Yeah, thank you.
Everything.
Mr. Chairman, then, I have several bills that have been introduced, and I in the process, as I mentioned one time before, revising them, I was going to put in committee substitute. Maybe the best thing to do is for me to hold off on finishing those until the attorneys are available. Maybe review those with them so we don't have to go through too many iterations.
Yeah, I would find that highly advisable because even the bills that we have now generated and talking about, I'm just going to hold tough on it right now until I find out the format of the vehicle by which we're going to be using to go forward with it. We're taking up your bills, not as a to pass or not to pass, but to get the input into it so that we can devise something that's going to work for everybody. That's what the intent is.
Chair, I think this is a very good way of approaching it, and if you'll advise me when we could work with the attorneys, I'd be happy.
No problem. I will have the stuff to the committee. I will have the information to the committee as well in advance of when we're going to do it, give you a chance to study it over. And secondly, there will be some witnesses. And they'll be talking about their particular problems they've had during this last campaign and so on, only so far as to give us an idea of where the problems lie. Without it's not to try any case. We're not going to try any case, whether they're right, wrong, or indifferent. It's to get the input so we know what caused the problem and try to go through it from there.
I know I want to hear this. Who do you have in mind as witnesses?
I've had four or five people call and want to be sure to be witnesses. Over a period of time, not in just one particular setting. But I'm sure Vico, I'm positive that Vico wants to talk about some of those things, not as a trial, so to speak. I'm sure probably some of the governor's offices or some of those people would like to talk about it. Well, I'm hoping that this is going to happen.
I don't know, I heard the other night.
I'm going to give them the opportunity to help us solve the problem. That's what I'm doing. I want everyone to help us solve the problem.
Understood.
Okay? Is there anything further to come before the thank you for your confidence? Anything to come before the committee? Anything else? You're adjourned. Thank you.